Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, I just threw this out, and you tell me if it's a volcanic hot take, is it a room temperature hot take, simply from the scope of Edmonton, just looking at it in the market of Edmonton. Bigger bust, Nail Yakupov or Jesse Puljujärvi?
I'm going to go room temperature, only because the book's not finished on Puljujärvi.
Okay.
Like that, there's still a chance that the guy that people were ready to draft at, you know, had kind of locked in at number three in the draft till Dubois got taken by Columbus. There's a chance that that's still there with the Yakupov, as we have all described. I mean, it looked like he's been chased by bees back to Russia.
The beekeeper.
Yeah, that book has been closed. You're right. Puljujärvi could still be writing some chapters, but I just think when you look at it, Yakupov, it was a weak draft and everyone knew it. Puljujärvi got more hype than Yakupov because he was on that Finnish team. You called those games, man. It was him and Aho and in Laine, one of the great lines in World Juniors history.
You're right, but Ray, like, you're front and center in those games and you're seeing him. But you also watched a ton of Edmonton play, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, there were nights for Puljujärvi, the game, he looked lost out there. Like, he didn't know where to be. It looked like his stick was too long for him. He looked like he was late on plays, couldn't win physical battles, even though he's a big body. Like, there were so many things where I thought, his details are so poor at this level that there's no reason for him to be there. He had to be at the AHL level to learn the North American game and then grow his game at that level so he can get to the next level. That's on Edmonton, but it's also on the player, like thinking that he should be immediately a top six forward because of what he did in the World Juniors.
Well, but see, this is where I think, and it's spilled milk now because it's a new organization and a new regime, but they shouldn't have put him in the AHL, in my opinion. The first year, he should have been in Finland. He should have played. He comes from a little place in the north of Finland. He doesn't speak any English. I get an idea. How about move him to a bigger city in Finland? See if you can work a deal that he can play in Helsinki. He learns to live in a bigger city. You tell him, look, part of this is that you're taking English lessons because when you come over next year, you're going to, you know, this will be your next step. And then that second year, you play him for a lot of the year in the American League. So he's transitioned from, you know, the north of Finland with no English to a big city. You learn to live in a city that's closer to a North American city. You learn a little bit of English, and then you come over and you play in the American League, and then you call him up a few times to give him some games, give him a taste. And then last year, the expectation on him would have been so low because he would have just been in his first year, not his third. Because when you're in your third year, people look at you funny. And they're like, oh, this guy can't play. And I did one game later in the year there, and I'm not even exaggerating this. He started the game on McDavid's line. He got a pass about 7 or 8 feet short of the red line, moving up the ice, and he iced it. Like, he wasn't even close. It was like a kid that had never played before. And McDavid came off the ice, and, you know, he doesn't say anything. Like, McDavid doesn't say anything. He doesn't really show much frustration. And I'm sitting, you know, I'm standing right between the benches, and the look on his face was one that we all would have had. Like, what the heck was that? Like, what was he thinking? And two shifts into playing on McDavid's line, he was, he got Hitch moved him down the chain, and, you know, it was a wasted night for him again. There's been too many wasted nights for this kid.
And to jump on that, Ray, then people would be complaining, well, you're only playing him 7 minutes, you're only playing him 8 minutes. Well, you can't put him out there. Like, that's
a 7-foot icing means he can't put him on the ice. 7-foot icing.
It was not even, like, it wasn't even like it was a, oh, he tried to bump pass it to a guy up the board, you know, cutting across, and he misread the angle. Like, he just got it and iced it.
That's not going to fly. Like,
that's just, and so while it is true that, you know, players are younger and you've got to help develop them, it's not, you can't have guys with training wheels on.
Right.
And that, like, you You don't even have a chance. Never mind winning. You don't have a chance. And so when I look at Puljujärvi, and now he's asking for a trade, like, I don't know if he thinks like the genie will be out of the bottle if he goes to a new city, and he'll be able to play and he'll be able to produce. And it's still the same league. It's still bloody hard. You're just going to have a new jersey on. That's
well,
it.
Exactly.
I think he should be more patient. I don't think this is the, you've got a new coach, you've got a new manager, you're on a team that's dying for wingers. Like, they're dying for wingers. And you want out. To me, it's a young, I hate to use this word, but it's an immature look.
Yeah.
You know, to say, I got to get out of here. It's going to be better somewhere else. It might not be.
Well, that leads us to a guy who's on the opposite end of a career, and that's Corey Perry, who is MVP. He's won gold medals with Canada. He's done it all, and he got bought out today. What kind of market do you expect for Corey Perry?
I think it'll be surprisingly robust. I think you're looking at a player that it's, you know, around $2 million. Just look at the guys around the league that make $2 million and just go, can those guys score 15 goals? Like, almost a guarantee. The answer is no for a lot of them. And I think Perry can score 15 goals. I mean, if you need him to win a skating race to save your life, you're dead, right? Yeah. He's not going to win the race. But he's a rat. He knows how to score. He can still compete. He still wants to play. Like, all those things matter because his skills are diminished. If he is just looking for a payday, nah, then you move on to the next guy. I think on a team that is a good team that you can play him, and he's got to be willing to accept a much smaller 12 to 15 minute type deal. If he's willing to do that, I think he can score 15 goals. He'll score on the power play. You play him with some stronger guys that when they get in the zone, they can... Heck, he's not slower than Patrick Maroon.
Right.
Patrick Maroon was a very effective player for St. Louis. And I think Corey Perry can be that too.
Plus, I'll add into the fact that, like, a little bit of embarrassment being bought out. Like, I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Like, he came back from that injury last year, and I thought he played all right. But you could tell, at that price point, you're just not living up to the contract. But when you're getting a player like that for pennies on the dollar, I think he'll get you 15, but he's going to have that chip on his shoulder, like he's going to have something to prove. And I think he would be a fantastic ad for some of these teams that need a little push. Like, I'm not suggesting the Leafs, but I could see Edmonton taking a run at him. You know, a veteran guy, maybe help McDavid a little bit. I don't think he's going to play with McDavid, but could he be net front on the power play in Edmonton? I think so.
Well, Alex Chiasson did it last year and worked his way to 20 goals.
Exactly.
Now, we saw Perry play shortly after he returned. It was a game in Toronto, and man, he struggled. Like,
yeah.
It was too fast for him. But he just got back. The problem is, and unfortunately I know this, is the older you get and the more invasive the surgery is, sometimes they all send this release out, it's a successful surgery, which means the guy's leg didn't fall off on the table,
right.
But it doesn't mean that you're getting to 100%. Each time that you're injured, you don't quite get back to what you were.
Yeah.
And at 34 years old, he had a major, major surgery. And it will take him, now he's got, you know, he had whatever he played last year, number of games, plus he's got a whole summer. The team that signs him is going to want to run him through a pretty rigorous physical, and they'll have a good idea what he can do. Can he play 65 games for you? You know, you give him some back-to-backs off. If he can do that, I'm telling you, I'd be interested.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Noodles and I, we got into this in the 4 p.m. hour, and there were so many names, we couldn't even get to the Western Conference. But we'll revisit the East.
Yeah.
And we brought this up because of Mitch Marner and everyone in Toronto. There's so much anxiety here about what's going to happen with Marner and what he wants and what the Leafs are willing to do. And we're taking the contract out of it. But we posed the question, simply forwards, because it gets too complicated when you add defense and goaltending because of the complexities of those positions and how different they are. Forwards, you would take over Mitch Marner for the next 8 years. You can sign an 8-year deal, an 8-year max. We won't go through the whole list. We'll just go through the guys that Noodles and I kind of were wavering on. And you give us your take. Would you take Marner or this other player? Again, salary cap doesn't matter. It's simply the player for the next 8 years. Let's pretend the cap doesn't count. Age does count, though. Marner or Evgeny Kuznetsov?
Oh, Marner.
Yeah, we both took Marner because of age. Marner or Pasternak?
Yeah, I think Pasternak's amazing.
I thought it was a coin flip. I took Pasternak too, but it was very close.
Yeah.
Like that's
a hard one.
I leaned Marner. Now, listen, he played with Tavares. He had a great line mate too, but Pasternak's had the best line mates in the league.
And Marchand.
But he's a great player. That's how close it is. Marner for the next 8 years or Matthew Barzal?
Oh, Marner.
Yeah, I'd take Marner, but Barzal, man, he's shifty.
I think I leaned Barzal, but I was close. Like, I think, center ice position, but Barzal is just as crafty. And I want to say that I think Barry Trotz may have helped Barzal kind of play a little bit more responsible, so he may have left some points on the table there,
too. Well, but here's the thing. Marner can kill penalties, Barzal doesn't.
And I actually made that point, too.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, they're both going to be terrific on the power play. They're both going to do their thing at 5-on-5. That's kind of a little bit of a swing vote for me there for Marner.
Mitch Marner or Jack Eichel?
Well, I want to see Eichel in a year. I want to see if there's... And the reason I say that, guys, is like... The first three games of the World Championships, he could have played with his suit on underneath him and not got it wet. And then I don't know what the hell happened, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, he's fantastic for the rest of the tournament. It wasn't even close. It was like a new Jack Eichel came and started to play. And that Jack Eichel, I really like. Big, he was physical, he skated, he shot the puck, he's, I would take Eichel because I have some positional bias, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the things that he hasn't clicked in yet with concern me.
Yeah,
like if I were to take Eichel, that concerns me a bit.
Marner's been much more consistent, but I agree with you. I'll take the size. I'll take the position. I think he can score more than Marner.
I took Eichel, but I've been an Eichel fan since.
But they're both close.
Him.
Same age.
Yeah.
And Eichel gets hurt. The team he plays on hasn't helped them.
Exactly.
Marner's had help.
Yeah.
You got to remember that.
Exactly.
Final one here. Next 8 years, Mitch Marner or Taylor Hall?
Marner.
Yeah, I took Marner too. Again, age.
I think age would spin it for me.
I gave the JFJ.
Okay, here's one: Marner or Nate MacKinnon.
Oh, MacKinnon all day.
I was just—I thought that was going to be one of them, and I was like, I wonder.
Well, that's in the West. That's what I'm saying. We didn't get would you take Marner or Rantanen for the next 8 years?
I still can't look past the size thing and go, Rantanen is a giant.
Right. Same.
Like so I can't quite get by that. And none of this means that
they're all great players.
If you stuck me with the other one, I'd be fine. I'll tell you, I'll take Mitch Marner over $50 million of Kevin Hayes.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, we were talking about
I mean, and that's what we're trying to get to. We actually wanted to talk about the player because, everything's, you got to get the calculator out and everything's about offer sheets and RFA and leverage and who do you compare it to and, I was thinking about it today. I'm like, let's just come up with a list of 15 or 20 guys in the league, and he's in these categories.
Right. And you
he's
can
a
argue,
great player.
And then you can start to argue, well, that guy signed 3 years ago, or this guy, but it's the
calculator. Let's talk about hockey.
Yeah, let's talk about the actual players, and Marner's in those
conversations. He's a great player. I love him. I would be so rattled if he's not here next year, or he doesn't play a long time in Toronto. Like, he deserves that. The team does. The fan base does. But
you know who's rattled? As you say, being rattled, how could the management staff not be rattled?
Right.
I mean, you're into this last week here before July 1st. They've got to be nervous. How could you not be?
They know.
Because now if you can't get the deal done, if it won't be done, the rest of it's out of your control. And that would be tough.
You have to take care of business. Because at some point, Kapanen and Janssen are going to call you. Maybe Ron Hainsey. Yeah. Maybe a backup goalie, because by all accounts, Garrett Sparks is not a part of the future here. There's a lot that has to be done. And yes, ideally you'd like to get Mitch Marner done, but it takes two to tango. And if Marner's not interested or isn't willing to take the final offer you put on the table today, he might in a month. Then for the next month, there's not much you can do if you're Toronto.
Nope, you sit and you keep trying to bang away at it, but man, it would be tough.
Oh man, I'll bet you they can't believe they're flying to Vancouver. They're in Vancouver probably now.
They're there, for sure.
They're here. I saw a bunch of them last night.
Yeah.
Just say one of these days Dubas is going to show up for a press conference with gray hair, and you're going to go, when did that happen?
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You see it on coaches all the time. Nice jet black hair at the start of the season, and they either have no hair left or it's white at the end of the season.
And you're like, wow, that was fast. Their power play must really suck.
Exactly. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Have a great day, guys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.